the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, welcome in. No Willard and Dibs this week here on 95.7 The Game. We got a special week for you, though, here from 2 to 6. My name is Mark Randy. Lo Neal to my left, Jake Hutchinson. Hutch here with you from 2 to 6 today and tomorrow on 95.7 The Game. You'll hear these guys most of the week here on 95.7 The Game. Of course, Lo Neal, one of the greatest fullbacks to ever do it. You hear him every week on the kickoff show leading up to Niner football games. You read all of Hutch's stuff on 95.7thegame.com. He's down in Santa Clara for almost every single game and every single availability. No one knows the Niners here at the station better than Hutch. It is a pleasure to be with both you guys. I wish it was different circumstances because we are trying to sort through one of the worst losses in the Kyle Shanahan era, 38-10 yesterday in Green Bay. It is the worst loss for the Niners against the Packers all time, and these two teams have been playing forever. It was a bad, bad day in Green Bay yesterday. Despite the injuries, it was still a relatively weak performance from most of the players that took the field in Green Bay.
Downright brutal. I mean, I think even knowing just how many injuries they had, you have to at least put up a fight. And the saddest thing, I think, about the performance is that Green Bay let them stay in it. Right? Green Bay was pretty unserious.
10-point game in the second half.
They just let him hang around, and the 49ers said, no, we're good. We're just gonna wait until, you know, Jordan Love has enough time in the pocket to just launch it 70 yards down the field every time, and Josh Jacobs is gonna run us into oblivion because our defensive tackles can't hold up, and there's some questions about scheme we can get into, but yeah, they got outplayed in every which way and didn't take advantage of the many opportunities they had because they're fundamentally unserious this season.
When you say that, when you say, hey, look, they didn't take advantage of the opportunities, elaborate a little more. Are you saying they didn't take advantage, like they didn't try, or do they not have it? Because I think
they don't have it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I think that a lot of people, to the naked eye, they're like, dude, what's going on? You have a chance. You saw them have opportunities. Several interceptions hit the Niners DBs right in the hand.
Yep.
Should have been easy picks to swing, you know, to swing the momentum, swing the game, but you couldn't. You took a lot of chances, you took a lot of opportunities, but you're just not good enough. Green Bay is a playoff team, and the Niners are not. And I know we like to continue to say, hey, look, this is this team. We've seen them. They still have the talent. Yes, but this is just one of those years, man. You're watching this team, and you're just watching the game, and like you said, Green Bay let them stick around. You go into halftime, you score right before halftime, you're down by, you know, 10 points, and you're like, wow, this game should be a lot uglier than what it was. And you get the ball coming out, and it's just no mas.
Yeah.
I
think fundamentally it's you look at their offensive line, they're not getting push in the run game. The interior of that offensive line is really rough. Even Pooney, who's had a great rookie year, teams have figured him out a little bit more. He had those three penalties, and sure, they had some ticky-tack ones, but this team fundamentally has those penalties all the time in key situations when they need to avoid them, and they can't recover from it because they've lost the talent and they're just not clinical enough.
Yeah, and you're not good enough. And when you talk about those offsides and the penalties, when you're a team that's struggling and you're a team that's not good, and you make mistakes, you compound it and you're like self-inflicted wounds. It's hard to overcome that, especially when you're playing against a team that is a playoff team, a team probably top three. I'd say top three or four teams in the NFC. I think Green Bay, when you talk about the NFC, top four teams.
Don't disagree there.
Yeah, you go into that game, down your quarterback, down Brock Purdy, down Nick Bosa, down Trent Williams. Obviously, you're still without Brandon Ayuk, and you're without so many other guys that are valuable to this team. If there was ever a game to where you had to be buttoned up and you had to just play smart, simple, straightforward football, this was the game to do it. You still might have not one. You're going to have to play perfect, but you come out of the gates. A false start on Dominic Puni on the first drive turns a second and one into a second and six. You don't get the first down. You punt the ball away. Next drive, there was a hold on Puni. First and 20. You can't come back from that, getting stuck behind the chains. On a relatively early drive for Green Bay, consecutive 12 men on the field penalties. The first one is what it is. I know Shanahan was a little upset about it. Green Bay caught you. Maybe the refs missed one. The second one, though, I mean, you've been in those situations before. After a stoppage, how do you have 12 men on the field again, and they weren't even trying to rush anybody off? They just miscounted. Someone missed their assignment entirely. Like, this is just a team, even without all the injuries, we can forget all that. If they had everybody healthy and they still played this same way, they still lose by two scores.
No question. That's just attention to details. I mean, that's self-inflicted wounds. You just got a 12-man penalty, both teams offsetting, so you get to redo it, and you still have 12 men on the field. What does that tell you? That tells you attention to detail, but also tell you that's coaching, because usually there's a guy on the sideline that tells you the personnel that he wants. When you see a team goes trips, when they go 12 personnel, or they go, you know, then you go usually big. If they go, hey, goal line, you go big, jumbo. When they say, hey, look, they're going three wide receivers, then you go dime. If they're going, you know, four wide receivers, you go nickel and dime. So you go, hey, let's put more DBs on the field. So usually the coach is usually matching what the team is doing, what the opposition is doing. So you didn't have that. You already got 12 men on the field. Kyle Shanahan's talking to the official. What are your coaches doing? What is the coaches doing that are calling in the defense? Who's the guy? There's a guy up in the box that's supposed to count the guys, know what you're doing, know what personnel. That's not there. That's attention to details, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's brutal. I mean, as a player, when you have stuff like that, that's just so blatant and such a lack of execution, and just being able to get the right guys on after a situation like that, where they actually, the second time, the refs gave the 49ers the time to make the right substitution, you get it right. How quickly does that trust in your coaches erode as a player?
Well, I think it's both, because now the player is saying, no one told me the personnel. Well, who's yelling on the field? Nickel, dime, goal line. So it's lack of communication. It's lack of being ready, as far as the coach to saying, hey, make sure you communicate that, get that in. The head coach is engaged in the officials. He can't be counting the guys on the field. Where's your coaches? Where are your leaders? Who are the guys? You know, you got Fred calling into place. Who is your leader out there that's counting? Guys know to huddle up. And a quarterback, you watch offense. Guys, quarterback steps out of the huddle. He counts, make sure that there's 10 other guys in there before he steps in. Hey, somebody get off. So it's just, those are simple attention to details that is slipping on this team.
Yeah.
And when you don't do that, that merits losing.
Well, I think that's the most frustrating part for Niner fans. And you guys can give us a call, shoot us a text, 888-957-9570. That's also the Comcast Business text line. Let us know what frustrated you the most from the game yesterday. But for me, it wasn't even necessarily that you lost, because I'm sure you guys both agree. The Niners, rightly so, nearly a touchdown underdog in Green Bay. That's a good team on the road in a cold environment, and you're down your starting quarterback, your best defensive player, your best offensive lineman. Like, we could go on and on. Everything that was stacked against the Niners. And it's one thing to just lose that game, as probably expected to do. It's another to lose it looking the way that you did. And you just looked like a team, as you're talking about, unprepared, undisciplined, that's really, I mean, it kind of gave off a feeling of,
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
whatever.
I mean, you talk about the recipe for them to win was to be clinical and not make mistakes, force Jordan Love to throw some turnovers. They had a couple chances at those.
He wasn't great.
No, he's never. Sometimes Jordan Love looks like the greatest quarterback you've ever seen, and other times you're like, I don't think he knows how to play football.
Yesterday was the first game all year where he did not throw an interception.
And he should have.
Should have
probably had two.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. The Niners don't take advantage of those. They get crushed defensively in the run game. And then their own run game, which needed to be the foundation for them to have any chance, they just get stuffed because, yeah, McCaffrey's not himself, but also the offensive line is just not doing it. They're not getting enough push. Nothing's clinical. And even when they do, it comes back from a holding or an illegal shift or an illegal formation.
I think if you had McCaffrey on the call and you ask, how do you feel, he'll say, guys, I feel great. I think if you ask McCaffrey, hey, what's wrong? Are you a little rusty? He'll say, a little bit, but I feel it's nothing wrong. McCaffrey's trying to run hard. He's making a guy miss in the hole, then someone else the second. It's the second and third guy. Watch this guy try to run. He's not having those creases that he used to have where he could pick up 15, 20 yards in between. Watch a couple of those toss plays where they throw the toss. He makes two guys miss, and he picks up like 10 yards on the first play, a couple plays. You say, okay, that's McCaffrey. But then watch him when he's running a zone. He gets to the outside, and there's a guy in front of him, and now the backside becomes the front side. The defensive end and the backside end, they're closing down, so he can't cut back in because they're usually the cutoff by the backside guard and tackle. They cut those guys off, so you create a two-way lane. But he can't cut back and get north and south because they're coming through. So when you're watching McCaffrey, sometimes he's losing 2 and 3 yards, barely getting back to the line of scrimmage. That's not McCaffrey. Yeah. I understand everyone's like, oh, McCaffrey's just he's rusty and all this stuff. No. That's not him being rusty, guys. That's just lack of being able to create a new line of scrimmage. Football is a game in inches, but you got to create a new line of scrimmage, offensively and defensively. When you don't push and get a new offensive line scrimmage, you're not going to win. We talked about linebackers. We talked about defensive play. The defense, if it pushes the offensive line back, and now you got guys running backs. Now there's one guy 2 yards in the backfield, guys another yard in the back. Where are you making the cut? If the running back's getting the ball 4 yards deep, now the ball's already pushed back 3 yards in the backfield. He's got a yard to make one move. How is he going to get the defense even moving? They can stay play side and stay play because he's not having an opportunity to use his speed to stretch the defense. These stretch plays is to stretch the defense. It's to make the defensive lineman run laterally mm-hmm. and go back. So you're hitting and saying, okay, yeah. I'm going to run this track full speed. And he runs there, and the defense usually overflows because they're running lateral and getting pushed back because the offensive line is pushing them back. Now you have cutback lanes. But when he runs to a point and he has to stop, that means they lost.
Yeah, I will say I think McCaffrey looked better in this game than the previous two, and after, not this week, but the one before, he did admit he didn't feel quite like himself, and it was a little interesting because you rarely hear him say stuff like that, but he admitted he doesn't feel like where he's at. And there were a couple plays, you look, not this game but the previous one, where he did have those cutback lanes, and it was like he didn't fully trust it. Mm. It was like he had a couple cutback lanes and he didn't hit it with the same speed. Now in this one, again, I think he looked a lot better. I think the problem is he doesn't look 100% of what he is, and when you're not getting blocked well and you're not 100% of McCaffrey and you're not taking advantage of the little spots you have to turn nothing into something, you know, this offense just can't afford it.
Well, if you know that and we all know that, then why didn't you play Jordan Mason more? If you guys all know
great
that,
question.
And Jordan Mason was leading the league, he's top one of the top rushers in the league up to about three or four weeks ago, what happened? Where'd this guy go? You see the way he ran. You saw the way that he did against Seattle the first time they played. And all of a sudden, now no runs? So if you have a guy that as prolific as McCaffrey is and does the things that he brings to the table on a consistent basis, and you say, hey, look, I want to make sure McCaffrey utilizes him in the best way possible, wouldn't it behoove you to use a guy who's a chain mover, a physical guy that can run between tackles because the line maybe is not doing as well as they did, and then bring in McCaffrey as that changer? What's wrong with that?
I'm with you. I think even between the 30s, something like that, where you let McCaffrey start the drive and then you mix in Mason. I even, you know, people will say no Garendo, but Garendo does have unique speed for stretch runs. I know it's difficult to get to three backs when they're not even really using two.
Yeah.
But Mason, you're right. He is physical, and I do think there's a way for them to bring him in more. And that was something Kyle Shanahan said at the start of the season, that they gave McCaffrey too many touches. It wore down on him, and they wanted to take some of that off. And then McCaffrey comes back, and he's like, no, you're the bell cow. Yeah. You're going every snap.
Yeah, Mason, one carry through the first, like, 3.5 quarters. He got in the very end, the last drive, when it was already 38-10. One carry, and it was for 16 yards, and it got the Niners across midfield. They went for it on 4th and 2. They failed. We can talk about that 4th and 2 play call, because I think there's a major issue on that play call, and Mason could have been used on that play as well. We can get more into that. We've got to take a quick break. It's Willard and Dibs from 2 to 6 here on 95.7 The Game, but you might notice no Willard or Dibs. I'm Mark Randy. That's Lo Neal, one of the greatest fullbacks of all time. That's Jake Hutchinson. You read his stuff on the Niners and everything Bay Area sports on 95.7 The Game. We're with you until 6 o'clock today, 2 to 6 tomorrow as well, and you'll hear these guys on Wednesday as well. Safe holiday travel starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Expert technicians check fluids, tire pressure, wipers, lights, batteries, and more. For locations and coupons, visit BayAreaOilChange.com. That's BayAreaOilChange.com. More with Grandy, Lowe, and Hutch next on 95.7 The Game.